Side honor them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I in a tie can just see, open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right, in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Thursday, November the 6th, 2025, year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, and you are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well. Those of you of goodwill, as we say often, we don't wish our enemies well, folks, because when our enemies are doing well, we are doing very poorly. Speaking of poorly, folks, I know the sound quality isn't the best on these podcasts. I'm using a free service, online service, and obviously when you, beggars can't be choosers, I think is the operative phrase. But we are working to improve that to get some better sound quality. But for now, so that I don't have to drag out all sorts of wires and batteries and cables and everything else in order to put all of this together, we have to use this free service. But it doesn't matter, folks, even if the sound quality is not that good, the discussion quality, I can assure you, is going to be excellent. Let's see, it's been a couple of weeks since we've been together, folks. I did actually do a program last week with our good friend Stas, who will be coming up here with us in just a few moments. But I wasn't particularly happy with my contribution to it, even though Stas was his typical brilliant self. I wasn't happy with my contribution towards it, and so that was the reason why it just got shelved. But you know, there is a joke that I share with my good friend here, our co-host Stas. We don't have to worry about somebody. No, I know this is going to sound really, I don't know what's the word, smug, something like that. We have this joke amongst ourselves and some of the listeners also who with whom I maintain close correspondence. We don't have to worry about anybody else getting to any of these topics before we do, because most of the time they just won't touch them with a 10-foot pole. So, nevertheless, folks, a lot has happened since we've last been together. And, you know, one of the things that I want to emphasize in this particular program, yes, we deal with a lot of dark matter, folks, a lot of dark material. And, you know, I say often on the program, I hope you didn't tune in order to get cheered up, because it's going to be nothing basically but bad news from beginning to end. But actually, folks, there's lots of reasons to be hopeful. And I think possibly this fact doesn't come out in my delivery from time to time. I have no doubt, folks, that this entire evil system is going to come crashing down. It's going to go up in smoke. It will be defeated. There's no question about it. Okay. And I know that all of us who are fighting the good fight in whatever capacity it is that we do this, we are contributing to this. Every ounce of energy that we put towards this brings us 1 second or 1 minute closer to victory, okay? But part of that, folks, part of that victory can only be achieved by focusing on what needs to be fixed. And this is obviously, those of you who follow this program and follow the website know that this is a regular theme. And by regular, I mean a daily theme, okay, that we talk about. This enemy that is institutionally and, you know, dedicated to our destruction, and how this enemy has to be defeated. This isn't a game of chess or a game of checkers or an arm wrestling competition. This is like the theme from any of the Terminator movies. And, of course, those of you who follow the program know that some degree of discussion on our shortcomings in that regard are discussed. But, folks, there have been things happening. I say this because, you know, we now are at the 1 year and one day mark since last year's elections that put Donald Trump back into the White House. And, you know, the world is still an extremely dangerous place, full of violence, mass murder, religious crazies, mostly the people in Israel, but certainly the people, the Christians in America that support them. But we are moving forward, folks. Okay. We look back now, what the world was like a year ago compared to what it's like now. And there are things that have happened in the last year. And really, folks, things that have happened in just the last month, that if somebody would have showed me a picture of this a few years ago, I would have said, no, that's just not possible. And one of those things is obviously the change of the tone of discussion with regards to Israel. If somebody would have told me 3 or 4 months ago that young conservatives, young Republicans, young Trump supporters would be developing, you know, some really unfriendly attitudes towards Israel and towards the Jews in general, I would have said, no, you know, it's too early for that. But it isn't, folks. There is a new season that is taking over now. Now, does that mean that we should start breaking out the champagne and celebrating? No, folks, we have a long way to go. And a lot of suffering to go through, okay, as we have said often on this program. Anybody who thinks that the Jews are going to sit back and watch as 3,000 years of meticulous planning goes up in smoke and that they're not going to try to take the world down with them just does not understand the nature of this problem that we're all facing. They are going to try to take the world down with them, folks. They're in the process of doing that now. But we cannot let this in any way hinder us or affect us to the point where we lose hope and we just give up the fight. And this is, unfortunately, folks, this is whether people say, well, I'll just give you an example, you know, because it is one of the regular discussions on this program that we have where we are not necessarily defending the president, but rather trying to explain why he may be doing certain things that he's doing. And these explanations obviously don't conform with what is the norm out there, where you have all sorts of people with fancy advanced college degrees saying that Donald Trump is just a puppet of Netanyahu. And you know, our position here is that no, he's not. Okay, if he were, the world would be a completely different place than it is now. Okay, if he were a puppet of Netanyahu and of these very powerful Jewish interests who, generally speaking, do maintain an iron grip on the presidency, if he were all of those things, then we wouldn't be seeing the kinds of things that we're seeing now. Okay. Now, I bring this up, folks, because, you know, every morning and several times during the day, my co-host here, Stas, who I will be bringing up here in just a moment, you know, we hash these things over. I have to rely on him to tell me who is saying what out there in the blabosphere, as I refer to it. Because I really don't follow any programs or podcasts except for Tucker Carlson. And by the way, on that note, folks, if you did not happen to catch the interview that he did with Nick Fuentes, you really need to sit down. This is definitely an hour and a half of your time that will be well spent. I had heard of Nick Fuentes before, but I had never followed his work, even though I'd had a few people send me some links to some interviews that he had done. But he's quite impressive, folks, and he seems to be hitting on all of the right things. I particularly sat up and took notice in that interview with Tucker Carlson where he – no, I don't think it was the interview with Tucker Carlson. It was a response that Fuentes had given to I think it was Ben Shapiro or Mark Levin or one of those horrible, horrible Jews, as Mike Piper used to refer to them, where he referred disparagingly to their Hebrew Bible. And I said, whoa, hot damn, hot diggity dog. Hot diggity dog, that's a better one. Hot diggity dog, that's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear any of this nonsense about Judeo-Christianity and how, you know, Jesus Christ and, you know, the revolutionary teachings that he gave us sprung forth from the Hebrew prophets. No, folks, BS. That is just a, not just a myth and a fantasy, but a dangerous one. That is what has gotten us into the mess that we're in right now. But anyway, getting back to my good friend Stas, how I have to rely on him to tell me who's saying what. He was remarking on the manner in which many of these pundits and podcasters are taking the president to task over what is going on with these boats coming out of Latin America, specifically Venezuela. Now, again, folks, I'm not defending what the president's doing. I'm offering an alternative explanation, a possible explanation. I'm not saying that this is the case. What I'm saying is that we should consider whether or not this could be the case. And, you know, folks, we don't know what's on those boats. We're not going to devote a whole lot of time to talking about this, but this is just one issue where I think a lot of people who consider themselves to be, you know, political commentators or analysts or whatever, they're jumping on this thing and they're making a lot of noise about this, and they're doing it without thinking about, without looking at all the possibilities. We don't know what is on those boats, folks, okay? We're told that they're drug boats, but maybe it's not. Maybe they're carrying something worse than drugs. Maybe they're carrying nukes or dirty bombs or biological weapons. Maybe it is drugs, but it's some new drug that has been cooked up in an Israeli bioweapons laboratory that's so bad that it makes fentanyl look like Tylenol. Okay, something that if it gets into the, you know, the water stream of a, or I'm sorry, the water source of a, of any major city in America, that it would turn half the people into zombies or drug addicts instantaneously. We don't know what's on those boats, and yet, from what I hear, and I'm sure that my good friend Stas is going to correct me on this if I'm wrong in misquoting him. From what I hear, there's a lot of noise out there against what the president is doing, and nobody's considering, you know, that there could be a world, a universe of information out there to which we do not have access that would change that picture dramatically if we knew. Okay? You know, what I'll say in closing on this statement, folks, is that for all the grief that President Trump is getting over bombing these boats, you know, he has everything to gain and nothing to lose by having the Coast Guard or whatever forces that he has under his authority to bomb these things. He has everything to gain and nothing to lose by boarding those boats and showing the American people what's on them. So the question that we have to ask is, why isn't he doing that? What's on these boats, possibly, that's so dangerous that he cannot risk having American personnel board those boats, and that the only thing that he, as, you know, as the President of the United States, can do is to blow these things to pieces before they get to America? Okay, I think that there's a bigger story involved in this than what we're being told, and that's just one chapter, folks, of what we're all facing right now, whether it's the drug boats, whether it's the tariffs, whether it's the trade wars, whether it's the Middle East, Netanyahu, Russia, okay? there's so much out there that we don't know, and yet we have this church full of chirping and chattering children. That's pretty good. A church full of chirping and chattering children who are out there, you know, let's just call it what it is, folks. They're standing alongside the president's enemies who want to see him removed from office before he can bring an end to the Jews' plans for World War III. Anyway, folks, we do have a lot to talk about, and we are blessed. We are all good things on the positive side of the equation here to have with us a very interesting and intelligent individual, and that is our good friend Stas. And we're going to bring him up now so that he can say hello to the world. Stas, say hello to the 50 or 60 listeners who will be tuning in. Yeah,
Seekers of the Truth, welcome Seekers again.
Yes.
To
yes.
The ugly truth pie squared.
Absolutely. No. Squared. Absolutely.
Right. Good hoping. We're hoping.
No, I think we have lots of reasons. We have lots of reasons to be buoyed, as they say, especially in the last month or so, because the conversations, you know, there was a time, folks, not too long ago, when you had to be very careful when you were in public and you used the J word, okay, meaning who might be listening. But now you really don't have to worry about it as much because everybody's starting to really turn their noses up against them. Maybe not where you live, Stas, but I suspect in lots of parts of the country, they're becoming a rather unpopular group of people.
Oh, yeah. No, where I am, they're complaining. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's shocking, 70 years too late, but yeah. Nevertheless.
Yeah, better late than never. Better late than never. So, Stas, you heard how I started off the program. Of course, again, folks, we have lots of reason to be positive about things. Even in the midst of all of this bad news, a lot of good things are happening. It is the beginning of a new season. You know, roughly 6 weeks from now, folks, 5 weeks, something like that, the world is going to change radically on December the 21st. You know what happens on December the 21st, Stas? What happens on December the 21st?
My goodness. Is it the...
It's right at the tip of your tongue.
Near to the birth of the Savior?
No.
Some kind of elections going on.
No.
Jeez, I'm failing here.
No, it's so simple and basic that's why it's hard to answer the question, okay? What happens on December the 21st, or maybe it's the 20th, maybe I'm off, is that the days start getting longer. Even though it's the first day of winter officially, right, the beginning of the season of death, nevertheless, the tilt of the earth changes and the days start getting longer and we start the march towards warmth, towards sun, towards the rebirth of everything. All of this happens on the first day of winter. Okay, on December the 22nd, everything starts getting better. Even as it's getting colder and the death of the planet, you know, just becomes more and more stark. So what I'm saying here, folks, is that we are in the midst of a new season. Okay, the Gentile immunological system, okay, it's beginning to wake up. The Gentiles are beginning to sneeze and to cough and to get hives and to get itchy and sick to their stomach. They're sick of it. They don't necessarily know yet that the Jews are the source of this problem, but they will. They will. That's a conversation that is coming. And to be quite honest, folks, like I said, just in the last couple of months, that discussion has taken such a dramatic, has been volumed up so dramatically. I mean, did Stas, I know you happened to catch Mark Levin at the speech at the Republican Jewish Coalition. That guy was absolutely out of his mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he has showed himself. You know, like one of the themes of the ugly truth is the alligator will show themselves, that you use that over the years, or the tip of the fin of the jaws shark. He was all out. And, you know, it's us or them. When, you know, a reasonable person would look at Tucker Carlson and say, this guy's a moderate guy. You know, he is a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And to go off on him, basically calling him Hitler or whatever Levin was saying, he went through every aspect of history, and basically, readers of Tut, listeners of Tut, you guys know that we like the Gentiles. You know, we are Gentiles. And he was saying every person, you better be with Churchill. And you better be with this one. And you know, we survived Rome, and we defeated Rome, and we defeated Germany. And, and now we defeat Tucker Carlson. And I think, you know, using the word like neutralize or whatever. I mean, it's just so he's saying to us, to my mind, basically, you goy, you Gentiles, you better fight for Israel. You better join us. You better be the Dick Cheney Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
You better be the Bushes. You better be the Republicans that went in and destroyed Iraq. And I know I sound weird every time I say this, but to any listener coming through, if for whatever reason you don't care about Palestine, or you don't like Gaza, or you don't care that we destroyed Iraq, then you better realize this. That's your money, and money is blood.
Mm-hmm.
Money is life that is needed. And you better look at what they've done to America. And I hate to talk like this, like, oh, if somebody's a jerk or you don't like Arabs or something, hey, start looking at USS Liberty, the Jonathan Pollard, how we stole all of it, and how we're weakening as a nation. Look around the nation, no matter where we are, it's falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
The roads, the schools,
the quality of people,
it's just like
one of these zombie movies. You know, the only difference is, as of this moment, they're not, you know, jumping on you and trying to take a bite out of your neck, but you know, that day may be coming soon.
And this is what these guys are saying, like Tucker Carlson and now Nick Fuentes. Don't be a slave and go to war with everybody for Israel. Follow Jesus. So people like Tucker, Candace Owens and different people, they're saying King Jesus, King Jesus,
mm-hmm.
King of the Gentiles. And there's a clip
King of the Gentiles.
Roseanne Barr goes, King of the Jews. You know, she says that very violently.
She does?
No. Yeah.
When did she start doing that?
She's on a clip that went around. So she's being interviewed.
When?
Probably.
I need to know when. She stole it from me. She stole it from me. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
She's
yeah.
specifically not saying King of the Gentiles. She's saying King of the Jews. And now I have heard some clips of preachers now saying the right stuff. So there's tons of them. So Adam Green from the No More News, he has all these rabbis and preachers saying, well, Jesus works for the Judaics, and he's a trick, and he is a spy. And Paul was a trick, and you know, oh, there's a rabbi that says, geez, I'm so glad that, you know, the world worships a Jew or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's others that are saying no. And interestingly, a guy who has been taking a lot of Nick Fuentes clips, he challenged the version of those who bless Israel are blessed and those who curse Israel are cursed, because America has blessed Israel.
Yeah, and look what's happened to us.
Yeah, yes.
We've been cursed because of it.
Cursed. Yes. We have been cursed. You know, what good did the Iraq war do to it? Now, the bad side
of it. Oh, forget. No, I'm sorry to interrupt, but forget about the Iraq war. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Pretend that the Iraq war never happened. Our society would still be a basket case. Okay.
Right.
We would still have abortion because of the Jews. We would still have gay marriage because of the Jews. We would still have pornography all over the place because of the Jews. Even if these wars in the Middle East had never taken place. Yeah, we lost a lot of money, and it's made us hated around the world with 2 billion Muslims. But even if none of those things had happened, they have still destroyed our country, or we have allowed them to destroy it.
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Stas.
I like to use a lot of just observation when I travel the country. I believe I learned the most from that.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody is very big now, overweight. Many tattoos, very much, there's no such thing as, there's supposed to be no such thing as gender anymore. Everybody has partners, sexual partners, with everybody they want, male and female, divorce. I don't know how high the divorce is now. Even in perhaps the more alleged conservative states, a problem. And yeah, that's cursed. That's not blessed. Blessed is nice big families and lots of crops and people have direction and stability, lack of chaos, contentment. These things are absent. So we're cursed. And that guy brought up a good thing. I'm sad to say that I think, I forget the guy's pundit's name, Iron something. He's like Liberty Vault. Increasingly, these guys that are taking clips of Nick Fuentes, Tucker Carlson, and whatnot, and using them effectively. The mistake they've made is they've 100% turned on President Trump. And what they have not done is try to put themselves in his position.
Mm-hmm.
As powerfully as it is, as important as it is, he is as a man, he's a Gentile like you and me. He has the problems that we have tenfold in his position, but nevertheless, he has to deal with what we all have to deal with, that he has to be aware of what he says and what his base
is. He has to be more aware of it. He can't participate in a conversation like you and I are having right now.
Right, right.
He can't.
That all
okay. He can't. Okay, I use this imagery in a discussion that we had the other day, Stas, where, you know, in the game of chess, the weakest player, the weakest piece on the board is the king. Okay, he can only make one small move at a time. Even pawns have more of a freedom on the chessboard than the king does. And it's like that with the president. You know, a lot of these people think that because he's president that he can say or do anything. No, folks. I mean, look at what's going on right now. The government has been shut down now. He has judges who are issuing injunctions and rulings and all sorts of things to prevent him even from doing what is clearly outlined both statutorily and constitutionally, okay, in black and white lettering, okay? And he has these federal judges who are striking these things. I mean, he can't even get National Guard troops sent to some cities without some judge issuing a ruling saying they can't. So people think that he's just going to pick up the phone and he's going to end 3,000 years of war in the Middle East. I mean, come on, folks. What I'm saying to support your statement, Stas, is that these people who, you know, they are chirping and chattering. And basically just adding more heat to what is an already dangerous fire against the president. They don't understand, you know, they need to just sit back and say, look, I don't have all of the pieces to this puzzle, okay? But one thing that we know for sure, folks, okay, the system doesn't like him. The deep state doesn't like him. The Jews don't like him, okay? If he were the pawn and the slave and everything else that we are told to Netanyahu and to Israel, that war in Gaza would have expanded to Syria, it would have expanded to Jordan, it would have expanded to Lebanon, and I mean full-blown, folks, okay? Instead now, what we have is a U.S. military base in southern Israel that's there to make sure that the Jews don't start bombing the hell out of the place again. We have one in southern Lebanon now to keep the Jews at bay. And now we just found out today through the news that the Americans are building a base in Syria as well. Okay. None of these things are what the Jews want. None of these things are what Netanyahu wants. So cut the man some slack, folks. Just for 5 minutes, those of you out there with your podcasts and your websites and others, just for 5 minutes, just hold your tongue and hold on to your opinion until you've got more information. Because, you know, ultimately, you're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem, okay? And, you know, it would really stink later, folks, if something terrible happens, like the president does get impeached and removed a year from now after the elections, midterm elections. And then we find out that he was just about to put the finishing touches on ending all of this trouble, this apocalyptic trouble. But the political climate was such that he could not overcome the opposition. And then you would find all of these guys, folks, that are discussed on this program often with their silly podcasts and their silly website who had contributed this to some degree. Anyway, Saz, we're going to jump into some news stories here unless you wanted to add something to what I just said.
Oh, yes. As usual, I pile too much into one thought. I hope after the sound bites, we're going to go into the fact that the U.S. is now effectively at war with Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And also that because this is an American empire doesn't mean it's immune to incredible technological sabotage like the pagers.
Exactly.
Making it not easy for the president. I want to say something that you had reminded me to talk about back in the 80s. The Israeli intelligence freaked people out when one of their enemies answered a phone and the guy blew up. And that's back then. So this is what President Trump is up against. And, so if people think, you know, I've heard guys on Judging Freedom and go, oh, it's just easy. Just call up. You're the president. Two-state solution. You know, I think even Jeffrey Sachs has said, let's just do it. Well, he has been gifted a pager as a threat by Netanyahu.
Exactly.
And Netanyahu still has the greatest spy service in the world.
Yep.
The number one group. So our emperor cannot just simply do this stuff. We remember what happens to emperors. They're often assassinated or disgraced in another form of high-tech sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about this almost every ugly truth, how all of the presidents went down. Bill Clinton, mm-hmm, embarrassed.
Yep.
Jimmy Carter, embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Nixon taken down. JFK,
yep,
shot. So they expect this one to be any different. They're all these pundits are dying for some type of diplomat or media expert guy. And in reality, I say this firmly, this construction owner, real estate mogul, PR guy is much more effective in throwing a wrench in their apparatus than any,
mm-hmm,
scholar has ever been.
Absolutely, yes. Yep.
They knew this going into this, that they've seen how he's not afraid to go in a room and do deals with cutthroats and crooks. And It's been probably the greatest, effort to get them to go to the peace table that ever was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's
kicking and screaming. Kept kicking and screaming. Yes. Yeah. All right, Stas, let's jump into some excellent comments, by the way. Let's jump into a few news stories. The first one is extremely important, folks, just as all of the stories are that appear on the website. I wouldn't have even known about it if Stas had not sent it to me this morning and if it weren't something that he and I have been discussing a lot as of late. This story comes off of Russia Today. Russia's warning that the West is planning an act of, quote, major sabotage at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant. This is very interesting and frightening, folks. The story goes as follows. The West is pressuring the government of Volodymyr Zelensky, the terrorist Jew, to commit a major act of sabotage at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant that would lead to casualties among both Ukrainian and European citizens, Russia's Foreign Intelligence Services has claimed, adding that Moscow is set to be blamed for the incident. One of the proposals allegedly put forward by Kiev's foreign backers as the, quote, most effective is to commit a major act of sabotage that will result in significant civilian casualties, so says the Russian government. The West is said to be planning to orchestrate a major accident at the plant, Europe's largest nuclear power facility, that would lead to a meltdown of the reactor core. The Russian intelligence service stated that the British non-governmental organization Chatham House has already calculated the consequences of such an accident and determined that residents of Kiev-controlled territories and European Union countries near the Ukrainian western border would be in the area of deadly radioactive particle dispersion. Folks, there's something so familiar about this story. Stas, is there something familiar about this story to you?
Oh, yeah. It reminds
yes.
me of the Cold War and the Chernobyl disaster.
No. Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. What we were discussing, as soon as the war broke out, folks, in Ukraine, back in 2022, I guess it was, yours truly, this website, this podcast said that the Ukrainians, working in collusion with the Mossad and the CIA and probably the British, that they were planning to blow up Chernobyl, cause some type of accident there in order to release this radioactivity, and that Russia was going to get blamed for it, and that this is the reason why the Russians jumped the gun when they did and invaded, because they got wind that this was coming. And therefore, they said we have to get in, because the very first thing they did, folks, when the Russians invaded, the very first thing they did is that they secured Chernobyl. Okay, so this is not an exercise, folks, and we told you so. Well, yes, it is. Okay, I'm just going to tell you. Yes, it is. We told you so, folks. We told you so 3 years ago. That this was more than likely what was behind all of this, is that the Jews and the Americans and Europeans were going to cause something to happen at Chernobyl in order to cause so much political problems for Russia that it would lead to a total, well, folks, I mean, it's just generally accepted out there who've studied it, that the Chernobyl accident back in 86, I think it was, that this is what led to the downfall of the Soviet Union. And so, you know, what worked well once, I think they figured it would work well twice. They were going to do it again. Anyway, folks, the reason why this is important, besides the fact that I told you so, is the fact that this is what we have said before about the nature of this problem that we all face, okay? You know, World War One, okay, started, you know, it was aimed at the Middle East. World War One World War II. Yes, Gentiles killing each other, destroying the great-great-grandchildren of the same Roman Empire that, you know, destroyed Israel 2,000 years ago. But the Jews have got themselves up to their bushy eyebrows in this business with Russia and Ukraine as well. It's not just the Middle East, okay? This is why, you know, people who take kind of a relaxed view of things in the Middle East, they don't realize that it's not just the Middle East, okay? I mean, when we talk about World War One, we're talking about Europe, but one of the main goals of that was the destruction of the Ottoman Empire, okay, which would have put the whole Palestine issue into play. Then, of course, we had World War II and, you know, how the Jews were, you know, mistreated and beat up and abused and caused names by the Germans and all the rest of that, thus giving the Jews the excuse they needed to move themselves en masse into Palestine. So it's the same thing with World War III, folks. They have to knock Russia out in order to prevent Russia from doing anything to prevent the Jews from doing what they plan to do to the Middle East, which is to take over the entire region for themselves. Ukraine was supposed to be the tripwire that was going to lead to the downfall of Putin and of his government and put it back firmly in the hands of the same Jewish oligarchs that owned it before Putin took over. And here we have this situation, folks, where they were planning to do, you know, to cause the, and they still are, as much as we know, as far as we know, folks, they're still planning to do this. Okay. Stas, you're the one who found this news story dealing with the planned sabotage of Zaporizhia. What do you think about this?
The Russian intelligence shared this tip to RT. That means they're worried.
Yeah.
This is something we've covered on the Tut for a while now, as long as I can remember. The vulnerability of these power plants, probably, I'm going to say, maybe about 35%, 40% of the reason, 50% of the reason the Russian military is forced to take action.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they of course, feel very badly for Russian ethnic Russian speakers being shelled in the Donbass, needing to go in, and different people have said maybe Putin should have invaded earlier and all this type of topics. But maybe they don't want to draw too much attention to it. Maybe even 90% of the reason they had to go in. I personally thought that Putin didn't even want to go in. I mean, you know, of course not. You know, I mean, it's a disaster. But they were forced to go in because these plants are vulnerable. To my mind, there's only one group crazy enough to mess around with the nuclear power plant.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know why? Because as we've discussed on this program, they've already developed the therapeutics and the medical technology of living through that. We've covered this on the program before and on the website. They have all sorts of stem cell therapy with 100% success, folks, 100% success. So they're not worried about any fallout coming from a nuclear power plant, you know, melting down anywhere in the world, because they already have the therapeutics they need to live through it. That's a very important point that you made, Stas, the fact that they leaked this to Russia today means that they're worried about it. They anticipate that this could be coming very soon, and they want the information out there now that that they know about it, and I agree with you. I think that I don't think that that Putin wanted this war. Who would want it? Okay, and yes, I'm sure they obviously feel bad and they commiserate with their fellow ethnic Russians who are, you know, in the Donbass. But it was Chernobyl and the threat of that that plant being damaged and then Russia being blamed for it, that was the reason for launching these military actions.
Absolutely. I now hesitate. I don't really know who's winning that war right now, I have to confess. I know a lot of very cool commentators like Russia's got in the bag. They're encircling. They just had a pretty major victory. But the tricks of the West, we probably talk about this a bunch of times off podcast. This is a different time now where wars are not exactly won simply by military fighting. Now, with the technology, these incredible tricks, dirty tricks of sabotage, technology use have changed the game. You know, now the drone warfare, Operation Spider, where the Ukrainians definitely with the NATO and, you know, particularly the British have helped them attack deep into Russia. So certainly the Russians have more resources, but the casualty counts are kept secret by both sides, and it's just going on and on too long. I originally thought that the Russians going to sweep this early, very mistaken, and I had made the mistake of thinking that Putin wasn't going to go in. Mm-hmm. I remember that. I did that. So now, you know, I don't know, but this is, again, another thing that very accomplished media stars, Mersheimer, all the different people, Jeffrey Sachs, even Max and Aaron Mate, the Gray Zone, you know, they've sort of said the Russians were going to pack it in. I think they did, or they at least called out the Russiagate for its sort of ridiculous aspects. If you look at the Americans media, you know, they were like, oh, this is an invasion, and we were told they've annexed, you know, the Crimea, and I'm really going overboard here, but, you know, somehow the Americans have gotten African Americans to be angry at Russia, even though they don't have much to do with it. I don't know how they pulled that off. You know, they have a guy named Malcolm Nance who's like supposed to be a security expert. He's like, oh, the Russians have hacked our election, and somehow they did that. I mean, that's why do you want to die in a fight against people around the world, you know? And this is what the Gentiles have to do. They have to start to look at their suffering and compare and feel compassion for one another and end their destruction, you know? So the American blacks need to look at the gulags and the Russian Revolution and the destruction of the Poles and the Russians and the Slavs. And the Germans and the Poles need to knock it off. And the African Americans need to look what's really behind the slave trade.
Exactly, yeah.
You know?
Well, the bottom line is, Stas, is that the Gentiles have to realize that they are Gentiles.
Okay? Yes.
And that we live in a binary world, okay? And there's us and there's them. And there's nothing wrong with thinking like this, folks, because you know why? This is how the Jews think. They see the world in binary terms, them and everybody else. And we need to see the world in the same way. Now, the difference is that in this binary world, we have a group of people here who have consecrated themselves to our destruction. You know, this is something that people don't seem to understand. I mean, I use the imagery of Judaism as like, you know, the thought processes of an alligator. And it really is like that, folks. The alligator, you're never going to tame it. You're never going to rehabilitate it. You're never going to turn it into a pet. In fact, there was a very interesting story, I don't know, about 6 months ago that was on one of the Israeli websites, I think it was Ynet, about this large crocodile named Clarence. And he had been a family pet for 30 years. They got him when he was little, and I don't know, they had rescued him or something and made a pet out of him. It fed him every day for 30 years, gave him a place to live and all the rest of that. And then out of the blue, after 30 years of it never happening, when the caretaker went in to feed the alligator, the crocodile attacked him, almost killed him. Okay, meaning that no matter how many, all of those years of the alligator being tamed and housebroken and all of the rest, it didn't make any difference because its nature remained the same. And this is how we have to see these people, folks. They're not like us, as they are fond of telling us on every occasion that arises, that they're not like us. And that's why I can't get on board with the white nationalist thing. I mean, yes, I support the right of white people to defend and preserve themselves, but the notion that it's only the white people that are the target of the Jews' wrath, and that the Jews, you know, hate us, hate the whites more than... No, they hate everybody, okay? It's like every creature that lives in the swamp is on the alligator's menu. Every creature is on the alligator's to-do list, meaning to catch this thing, to kill it, and to eat it. And this is why I say, hey, we are the world. The Gentiles need to come together, all of us. Even, you know, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Muslims, the Christians, everybody understand that we're dealing with something here. We have human beings and we have Terminators. And anyway, I'm sorry. Now I'm the one that's getting off track. Stas, we've got some sound bites I'd like to touch on here. Are you ready for that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's do some sound bites here, folks. Hold on just a second. And here we go.
Well, I think the president's been very clear. He actually wants Gaza to be controlled by the people who live there. He wants the West Bank to be controlled by the people who live there. And he wants the terrorist networks that are around the Israelis to be dismantled so they can no longer pose a threat to Israel, especially the innocent civilians who live in Israel. It's never easy, as we've learned in the Middle East over many years. This stuff comes and fits and starts, and it can take very weird turns. But I think the president has gotten us to a point where we're at the one-yard line, and all of us are very hopeful we can sort of punch through the end zone and accomplish a major, major thing for peace in the region.
Okay, folks, so obviously that was the Vice President J.D. Vance, the newscast where he was talking about. He's basically saying, folks, that the West Bank belongs to the Palestinians, Gaza belongs to the Palestinians, and it is the policy of not just the president, but of his entire administration, that it's going to stay that way. Now, Stas, I'm confused here. Maybe you can help me out, okay? We hear from all sorts of people that Donald Trump is a slave to Miriam Adelson and to Benjamin Netanyahu and to Smotrich and Ben-Gavir and all the others. How do you think they view what Vice President J.D. Vance just said with regards to the West Bank being owned by the Palestinians and Gaza being owned by the Palestinians?
They haven't looked at that carefully enough, and they haven't been excited by that. They just...
When you say they, who are you talking about when you say they?
Any pundit that's had the guts to speak up against the State of Israel has not looked at what is really happening. So every time they just go to these exciting, titillating things, like... Now the latest is saying, well, J.D. Vance is in love with Erica Kirk. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, because they have embraced one another.
Oh, and who's saying that?
That's out there all over the
God.
Place. That's
all. No.
That's
no.
Strange places. Or that
come on,
Erica
I'm trying to keep a positive attitude here about things getting better. And you're telling me now that you've got the chattering, chirping church of children out there saying, the J.D. Vance and Erica Kirk have got a thing going behind the school.
Because I don't know. They hugged one another, whatever. And you know, I don't know. There's a lot of people saying that Erica Kirk's background is suspicious. You know, I don't know. Is she a spy? Whatever. I mean, it's moved on to another thing. What the vice president has said, what you have said. That, you know, he's doing pushback. He's going with the president on this. So there's all this things to obscure what's really happening. And
okay,
you know,
but Stas, again, how can Donald Trump be a slave to these powerful Jewish interests and these powerful Jews? And yet he's doing this thing in the West Bank in Gaza, and he's using his vice president to go out and to give it authority on these news programs, both opposing things at the same time.
Right.
It can't. It can't. It's got to be one or the other. Okay. Either Donald Trump isn't owned by the Jews, either he isn't a slave to Netanyahu, or he is. Now, if he is, folks, then the question is, why all of this talk about the West Bank belonging to the Palestinians and Gaza belonging to the Palestinians, when the Jews have made it clear that they want it? Okay, we got another sound bite, Stas. Hold on just a second here. Hold on just a second. I told you this wasn't sophisticated, folks. Okay, here we go.
Thank you, guys.
About the West Bank. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. We'll do. Yeah.
The West Bank vote yesterday that took place while you were in the country.
Oh yeah, that was weird. That was weird. I was sort of confused by that. Now I actually asked somebody about it, and they told me that it was a symbolic vote. Symbolic vote to recognize, or a symbolic vote to annex the West Bank. I mean, what I would say to that is when I asked about it, somebody told me that it was done, that had no practical significance. It was purely symbolic. I mean, look, if it was a political stunt, it was a very stupid political stunt, and I personally take some insult to it. The West Bank is not going to be annexed by Israel. The policy of the Trump administration, the West Bank will not be annexed by Israel. That will continue to be our policy. And if people want to take symbolic votes, they can do that. But we certainly weren't happy about it. Thank you.
Okay, folks, so that was the vice president as he was leaving from Israel after going and having a talk, having a sit-down with Netanyahu and the rest of these insane Jews over there. And he made it very clear. First of all, he spoke about it. He had to pretend like he couldn't remember what they were talking about with this vote to annex the West Bank. And he said, oh, yeah, that was weird. That was really weird, you know, where he's really kind of making fun of it. But at the very end, folks, you can hear he's very clear about it. He says the president says that Israel will not annex the West Bank, and he means that Israel will not annex the West Bank. Now, folks, in the event you were not aware, about a week or so ago, the president sat down with Time magazine and did an interview where he said very explicitly, point blank, he said, if Israel tries to do this, they will lose all U.S. support, all U.S. support, which means, folks, no more $30 million a day from the U.S. taxpayers. And that's 7 days a week, 365 days a year, folks. And that's actually a low number. But think about that, $30 million a day. Okay, let's see. That means no military support. That means no more intelligence sharing. That means no political support at the UN. That means that if the ICC decides to put the heat on some of these countries that are signatories to the charter, to move forward with these arrest warrants on Netanyahu and some of these other terrorists, that Trump's not going to stand in the way, okay? Folks, we have never seen or heard anything like this, okay? We just haven't. This is like something out of a science fiction movie. So, again, folks, the reason that we are pointing this out is because we have these people in our midst who are clouding the issue. Okay, and they don't just have audiences of like 50 or 60 people, okay? They have millions of people who listen to them as they say this nonsense that the president is owned by the Jewish lobby, okay? And it's clear, folks, he isn't, because if he were, he would say to the Israelis, well, I don't like the idea of you annexing the West Bank, but I'm not going to stop you. And I don't like the idea of you annexing Gaza, but I'm not going to stop you. And, oh, by the way, you know, you don't have to worry about losing all support from the United States, you know, economic, military, political, whatever. You know, you have a, it would be like it was before, folks, with all of the previous presidents, except for those who did try to push back, and they paid a price for it. So my point is, folks, as we've said before, be careful what you eat, and you know, intellectually and informationally. Okay, a lot of the stuff is just rotten food that is going to make your brain sick. Your thoughts, Stas, on what the vice president said about this stupid political stunt?
To the best of my knowledge, rarely do presidents or vice presidents say stuff like this. There was Spiro Agnew who said stuff, and you know what happened to him.
Absolutely.
What happened to him? My opinion about Richard Nixon is seen in a rant going, the AIPAC should not tell the president what to do. You know what happened to him. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I would be thinking that Nixon, sitting in his RV, very disgraced, probably had thoughts like, geez, I almost wish what happened to JFK happened to me. My life is hard. I'm a president. I was the president, but it might have brought him, like, untold misery. I don't know.
Sure.
For sure.
I mean, look, they make jokes about him. They make jokes. He is the butt. He has been the butt of jokes ever since Watergate. You know, I'm not a crook. How many times have you heard that in television shows? I mean, I've seen it on The Simpsons, okay, where he has been the butt of jokes. And, again, folks, it goes back to Israel. It goes back to American foreign policy. Nixon was going to push the Israelis to abide by the terms of UN resolutions that said you've got to give back the land that you stole in 67. Because that belongs to the Palestinians. And then all of a sudden, boom, we have this thing that pops up out of the blue known as Watergate.
Absolutely. So we've never heard a president say this. And even when Vance was at a political meeting and he was pressed by questioners saying, we've thrown it all to Israel, some American First MAGA type Republicans, anti-Israel Republicans, would ask him. He didn't totally skirt it as they usually do. He said no. At the bottom line, he said it's America first. So these things are unacceptable to Israel. It is against the law of their Torah, of their Bible. This is all against the law. An emperor, a czar, a president of the United States is not supposed to talk back. They are supposed to serve.
Yeah.
And to put in perspective, as you told me, the Roman Empire was at war with Judea pretty much longer than America has existed. Or has
200 years. 200 years. The Romans were trying, they spent 200 years trying to put down this rebellion. Yep.
And America's what, only 250, 300 years max? That's about the same. And so people forget that. You know, people don't want to, maybe they don't want to feel that they're submissive slaves under a thing, but we are. And our president who we elected is under their power. So he's got to make moves, but where he can, he has. And he has told them no, no annexation of West Bank. And people even people a lot smarter than me, I don't know what they expect. Do they
believe? There's nobody smarter than you.
Do they believe you and not?
We've talked about it. You're the smartest person in the world.
Yeah, I don't know what these people expect. Do they expect, like, the QAnon thing?
The knight on the shining knight on the white horse. They expect Luke Skywalker. They expect Superman. They expect all of this fantasy that they have been led to believe that the president of the United States has all of this power to do things. And, you know, if it's any lesson that we've learned, especially since JFK, is that, you know, the president can only, just like that king on that chessboard, he has very limited mobility. Okay. Stas, on that note, I want to play the soundbite you were just talking about with Vance. Let's see. He was at, I think it was a Turning Point USA rally. Let's give this a listen.
Let's say things, a few things about this. First of all, when the President of the United States says America first, that means that he pursues the interests of Americans first. That is our entire foreign policy. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have alliances, that you're not going to work with other countries from time to time, and that is what the President believes, is that Israel, sometimes they have similar interests to the United States and we're going to work with them in that case. Sometimes they don't have similar interests to the United States. In this example, the most recent Gaza peace plan that all of us have been working on very hard for the past few weeks, the President of the United States could only get that peace deal done by actually being willing to apply leverage to the state of Israel. So when people say that Israel is somehow manipulating or controlling the President of the United States, they're not controlling this President of the United States, which is one of the reasons why we'd be able to have some of the success that we've had in the Middle East.
Okay, folks, so that again was the Vice President, I believe, is a Turning Point USA conference. You know, we hear in a lot of these discussions, folks, the use of that term leverage. Okay, and people aren't really, they know in the back of their mind what it means, but I want you to get a picture in your mind's eye, folks, of what it is. When you're talking about leverage, you're talking about the use of a lever, okay, meaning, you know, a long metal tube or a crowbar or something in order to force something to move, okay? You know, the way that it works, I can't remember which Greek the inventor of the lever. I don't know. I should have known this ahead of the program. But anyway, you know, the longer that your instrument is that you're using for your lever, the more force you're able to apply in moving whatever this heavy thing is. Okay, so what the Vice President is saying here, folks, is that behind the scenes, okay, Donald Trump forced Netanyahu to do this, okay? Donald Trump was the one giving the orders. Donald Trump was the one who was using the big stick. Now, we can have all sorts of discussions where we theorize, you know, what the nature of that leverage was, you know, what kinds of threats were used, okay? But, you know, this buddy-buddy friendship that Trump and Netanyahu convey in front of the world whenever they're being interviewed, and which, unfortunately, a lot of people on their podcasts and their websites and whatever else think exists, it doesn't, folks. It doesn't. Remember, this is the same Donald Trump who, in the interview with Barak Ravid, the Israeli journalist, used the worst vulgar kind of language that he could about Netanyahu. This is the same Donald Trump who said that Netanyahu should be impeached because of what happened on October 7th. He has said all sorts of things, very uncomplimentary things about Benjamin Netanyahu. He hates his guts, folks. I'll go out on a limb by saying that Trump hates his guts. Not only that, folks, Trump completely intends to see Netanyahu removed from power, removed from office, not just because for reasons of revenge, folks, but because he says, he knows that Netanyahu is going to blow up the world. Now, I'm going to just cite a few news stories here, folks. And I think this came out of the Time interview as well. Trump says, I stopped Netanyahu because he would have just kept going. It would have gone on for years and years and years, and I stopped him. Okay, this comes off of the Times of Israel. And, you know, right there, the president, yes, it is with the Time magazine interview, where the president is giving us a clue, folks, about what's going on here. That he knows where Netanyahu intends to take all of this, that it's just going to go on and on and on, and it's never going to stop. because this is what the Jews have been planning for the last 3,000 years. So, you know, these are the kinds of conversations that he tries to have, not just with the American people, but with the world. And you have to read between the lines, folks. You can't let yourself, we can't let ourselves, to be worked up into all sorts of emotional fits over what so-and-so said on such-and-such podcast. Pay close attention to the things he says, folks, and keep in mind, in the back of your mind at all times, the fact Donald Trump is on the record stating that the most important thing, most important danger that we face right now is nuclear World War III. Okay, Stas, your thoughts on what the vice president said with regards to using leverage in getting Netanyahu to stop with the killing?
It is what it is. This is the real thing. And he has said what, again, breaks the law, the Deuteronomic law, the law of Moses, that sometimes America has to be first, and we diverse, or whatever he said. You know, mm-hmm. Israel's doing their thing, we're doing our thing. As far as I know, that is forbidden. That is
absolutely
forbidden.
Yeah, the nation that will not bow down and serve you shall be utterly destroyed. That's right out of the Jewish Bible, folks. The Hebrew Bible, as Nick Fuentes called it. I'm glad he said that. Yeah, the nation that will not bow down and serve you shall be utterly destroyed. That comes right out of the law of Moses. So, yes, you're exactly right, Stas. There is, and you know, the vice president, there are things that he can't say either, okay? He simply can't say these things. He can't have, you know, how many people out there listening to this program understand what I just said? You know, the nation that will not bow down and serve you shall be utterly destroyed. Okay, how many people out there know where that comes from? Okay, not that many, okay, because as Christians, we're supposed to focus our energies on the words and on the person of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, the Christians out there do not understand this master plan that the Hebrews have put together and that they have codified in this thing, which Nick Fuentes very accurately referred to as the Hebrew Bible. I'm sorry, Stas, I interrupted you.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, it's constant that these people refer to Marion Adelson. When Trump, as far as Trump's worry list, I think one of his food testers just got caught. Some guy just passed out next to Trump. Hey, if you want to talk about weird stuff and holograms, I'll top you. For all we know, they did do a directed energy weapon. They missed Trump and hit this guy next to him. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can't just imagine how many death threats he gets. So they constantly go to that. If that was the case, you know, and Trump is really a spy for Israel or something, there's no way that he wouldn't just let it go at some point. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody's a turncoat, they would fake it for a little while and they go, you know, he'd get locked into his own statement about Iran must never have nuclear weapons and we'd be invading. He would have never, ever notified the people of Tehran to evacuate. Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely not
how it works.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's not how it works. This is insane as when these weird guys used to say Mike Piper was a Zionist agent. When would he turn around and do something? He unveiled that they killed JFK. When is it? What is he going to betray and become an asset of? It just doesn't work like that. There's limits to it. And, you know, And just because he says Netanyahu is his best friend is ridiculous, too. And even, you know, they'd say, oh, my gosh, he's saying that, you know, you prosecutors in Israel, let get your hands off of my friend Benjamin Netanyahu.
Right.
Well, flip that around. It's an obvious threat from Trump. And when Netanyahu gives Trump a pager for a present, that is a threat. So please do some simple observation. These guys hate each other. It's like when a couple's going to get divorced, they go to a party. They have to fake like they still love each other so the family doesn't get upset. this mm-hmm. is worse than that, but they don't see that, you know. So,
yeah. Now, on that issue that you just mentioned, you know, the president was quoted this week saying that he's going to be involved in Netanyahu's corruption trial, and he's going to help him out. Now, you know what? You're going to have to, again, fill in the blanks for us, Allstars, because I haven't seen any reaction because I don't watch any of the podcasts, but I can only imagine that the usual suspects reacted to Trump's statement in this regard that he's going to help Netanyahu out by saying, see, this is proof. This is proof that he loves Netanyahu and they're the best of buddies. No, folks, what he means by that, when he says he's going to be involved, the president is going to be involved in Netanyahu's corruption trial and is going to help him out, what he's saying is, we're going to help him out of office. Okay.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what Trump is planning to do. All right. If you follow Israeli news sites closely, all of Netanyahu's people, his appointments, his cabinet appointments, are all leaving. Okay, he's basically he has just fired the last one that he had, which was Hanegbi, his national security advisor. And so Trump, through his people in Israel, they are imploding Netanyahu's base of power there, because they're going to get him out, because they know if they don't get him out, he's going to blow up the world. Okay. Stas, we've got one more sound bite I want to play here, so hold on just a second. And here it goes.
Hello. I have a question about Israel and Trump's policy towards it. Do you think it's a conflict of interest for Miriam Adelson, an Israeli donor, to give millions of dollars to his campaign and then Trump have pro-Israeli policies?
Well, if you're asking, do I think the President of the United States has a conflict of interest? No, I do not, because I know how the President of the United States makes his decisions, and I see it behind the scenes. Now, as the President himself has said, Miriam Adelson, who, by the way, I know, and I have a very good relationship with her, she is very clear about the fact. She doesn't hide the fact that she really loves Israel, and that is part of what motivates her political giving. That is a reality. At the same time, the President of the United States is America first through and through. And let me give you just a couple of examples of this. Number one, we have heard from some pro-Israel voices, some people who really love the state of Israel, that they don't want us to have a relationship with certain Middle Eastern countries. Well, the president, his attitude is, we need to build relationships with any country where we have shared interests, and he's going to do it if it's in the interests of the American people, and he's done exactly that. Number two, there were people, and I remember this criticism of the President of the United States. I just raised it in the context of a conversation that I had with Charlie. I remember when people said that the President of the United States was going to get us into a multi-100,000 troop regime change war for Israel. This was 4 months ago. This was 6 months ago. Now, the people who accuse the President of the United States of wanting to get us into a regime change war for Israel, I wonder if they step back and said, you know what, we were wrong about that. Because the President of the United States did not want to get us into a regime change war for any other country. He wanted to knock out a nuclear facility and get everybody back home, and that's exactly what he did. So I understand there's some frustrations out there, but I think the President of the United States, more than any president of my lifetime, is willing to stand up to anybody if he thinks it puts the interests of the American people first. Thank you.
Okay, folks, once again, that was the Vice President, J.D. Vance. He said something very interesting there, folks, where he said, you know, all of these people who were, you know, making a ruckus, saying that the president was going to get us involved in another multi-100,000 man regime change war in the Middle East, and they were wrong. Who's he talking about, Stas?
He's talking about Benjamin Netanyahu, who we thought was the greatest friend of J.D. and Donald.
No.
No?
No. No.
Marion Adelson?
No. No.
Sorry.
No. 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 What the vice president was talking about there, folks, are the chirping, chattering class, saying, oh, Trump's going to get us involved in another war, regime change war for Israel's benefit. And the vice president says, and they were wrong. Why have they not come out and said they were wrong, admitted that they were wrong? Again, folks, yeah, this is exactly what he is addressing these people on the right mostly, but certainly some of them on the left as well, who jumped the gun and they made a bunch of assumptions about things, and it turned out that they were dead wrong. And the vice president is right. They owe everybody, their listeners, their readers, everybody, an apology and an explanation and a retraction to say, look, we were wrong. We said he was going to get us involved in this big war, and he didn't do it. I'm sorry, Stas, but didn't mean to interrupt embarrass you at the same time.
I know.
But that's the way that the ugly truth rolls. Sometimes it's sweet, and sometimes it's bitter.
The chirping class.
The chirping class, yeah. Okay.
This is stuff that's never been said before. You got the truth there. So, you know, this is what their real policy is. This is why America is being torn apart with all this chaos. This is why there's money being thrown on the streets for no more kings and all this stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
That's
yes.
Really leverage on our country. What this guy just said is the president is not going to go into these regime change wars for Israel. And this is what this is all about. This is one of the big things. So all these other guys still going, Mary Adelson, we here at the Ugly Truth are like, hey, the Zapper needs a power plant, might get blown up. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is not a pawn of Israel. Don't be an idiot.
Yeah.
Don't
be an idiot. Yes, that's the bottom
line. Don't blame it all on the Talmud. It's in the Deuteronomy, the Moses. Don't worship Moses, worship Jesus.
Absolutely.
Don't tie our Savior of the Gentiles up with a murderer. Mm-hmm. Why would Jesus do that? I mean, you know, I don't know why people did. So they, you know, these are sort of simple things that very clever people have made into a huge problem, a problem mm-hmm. that has led us to this.
And on that note, Stas, on that note, I want to read just a little bit from an article that I republished this week on the Ugly Truth website. It appeared, I don't know, a year or so ago. It's an extraordinary article, folks. It's something that you really need to read through it, because it will explain a lot of things about the world that we live in right now and why all of us right now, we don't know from one day to the next what our quality of life is going to be. The title of this op-ed, written by this horrible, horrible Jew, is entitled, God Wants Israel to Be Jihadist. Okay? So he starts off his op-ed. This appeared on the Israel National News website. He starts off with this. The Israelites are commanded by their Torah and their traditions to wage holy war. And if a warlike impulse comes upon them, they are permitted to take up arms for plunder and new territory. Now think about that for just a second, folks. If a warlike impulse comes upon them, they are permitted to take up arms for plunder, which is theft, or new territory. In order to settle the promised land, they are commanded to annihilate, that's the verb that he uses, they are commanded to annihilate seven nations in Canaan with, quote, you shall utterly destroy them, from the book of Deuteronomy. And again, folks, note that this does not come from the Talmud. Okay, this is straight out of the Old Testament. That same book that billions of Christians consider to be every bit as holy as the New Testament. Our deranged Judaic writer continues, failure to do so, meaning failure to utterly destroy them, violates a negative commandment, which is do not allow a single soul to remain alive. He continues, another jihadist-sounding commandment is to, quote, remember to destroy the nation of Amalek. He goes on, note the present tense of the commands. The obligation to wipe out the enemies of Israel and of the Jewish people is not bound by time or circumstance. He continues, the Torah is not a book of peace at all. Taking someone else's ancestral land and defending it from their trying to reacquire it leaves no room for pacifism. I'm not going to read the entire article, folks. I think what we just read there is sufficient food for thought and discussion, which is that we're battling something here that is, as we say often on this program, thousands of years old, thousands of years ingrained. And this is one of the reasons why, in my opinion, folks, we're not going to avoid. I don't think that the president is going to be successful in pulling the plug on World War III the way that he intends to. I don't think that, I'm not saying this in a pessimistic tone, but rather in a realistic one. And the reason why, folks, is because, you know, half the world or more right now is really sick of these wars, especially the wars in the Middle East. They're sick of the Jews. But if you were to try and have a conversation with these people and to say, well, do you understand why these things are going on? Do you understand the dark energies that are driving these people, you know, and what's been written in their books that propelled them to do these things? Most people don't know, folks, all right? This particular article that I wrote, very telling article. I didn't alter the title of it all. Okay, he says that God wants Israel to be jihadist. Okay, and he comes out and says, we are commanded to utterly annihilate these people and steal their ancestral lands. That's the word he used, folks, ancestral lands from them. And to kill them, slaughter them if they fight back. To utterly annihilate them. Okay, our awareness of these things, folks, as a species, needed to take place thousands of years ago. Okay, to begin the study of this problem in 2016 or in 2025 is thousands of years too late. And this is why, personally, I think that despite his best efforts, the president probably is not going to be as successful as he would hope to be, okay? And the reason why, again, folks, is because, as we've said on this program many times, we all live and die based upon the nature of the conversation that happens to be taking place at any given moment. And right now, the conversation that needs to take place dealing with the dark energies that drive this particular group of people, that conversation's not taking place. Yeah, people are sick of the wars, they're sick of the instability, but they don't understand why it's going on. Okay. Stas, what did you think about just a few lines that I read from this very telling op-ed that appeared in this very Jewish website?
It's weird. It's like it's out in the open, you know. Mm-hmm. So we just have to. It seems like it's the hardest thing in the world for us Gentiles, some of us, to look at what those words just said and what J.D. Vance said and what Trump says. Somehow us Gentiles go off the focus.
Yes.
And the Jewish people don't. They stay.
They don't. Yeah, that's right. Right.
Ironically, they as don't. Complicated as they are,
don't go
the
off
time.
Script. Yeah. They don't go off script. That's the problem. They don't, and we do.
Which is why whoever constructed America First this time attempted to keep it simple, America First.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't been. But I can't help thinking, the area that I have hope lately is that the Trump and his people behind him must have known what he would present would create something. And somehow he lost for 4 years, comes back. That's never been done. And I think they knew that he would be able to create this massive schism, and we've seen it now within the Republican Party. The Democrats, I'll give them credit for their compassion for Gaza in some measure. But the problem with them is they are not in reality.
Right.
They're combining all types of debauchery things with saving Gaza, and it doesn't mix. You cannot take their lifestyle and defend Palestine correctly.
Right. That's right. Yep.
It's too not honest. It you know, in a way, in a certain way, or it's not correct. But now the Tucker Carlson wing of MAGA versus the Mark Levin wing of MAGA has been created. Nobody can take that back now. They might be able to cover up anything as the Gentiles go. As we might have suspected, the Charlie Kirk martyrdom situation is getting obscured, as the Israelis, the Jewish, can do with their media. But this new thing, where they have been provoked to say, you better come with us, for anybody can read between the lines, you better do our wars. I know you're all broke and fat now here in America, but you better do what we want. And although the American military, this Roman one, Roman-like one, is diverse and, you know, still key components are these, like, white Christian guys. And now they're faced with a question that they'll have to be confronting. Now they know that, you know, someone wants them to go to war, particularly with Iran, and shed blood. And now they're going to have to answer, who am I doing it for? Is this to protect America? Do I have to take lives to protect America? Or is this just doing this for theological purposes? And how do you interpret that? And what God said to have that land? Who was that? Was that the God of Jesus, who said, you're of your father the devil? Or is that
the God of Moses?
The God of Moses, that would be involving things like espionage, which this is involving, like, you know, one of the pundits said, wow, you know, I think it was Fuentes, Nick Fuentes himself, who said, wow, they're bugging, you know, just like Boris Johnson. So, of course, Trump is scared. Everything's bugged all the time. That would get to anybody. In that. So, you know, that's a means to an end. Where is this going? Now, I think Hexet, as we talked on and off here before, of course he didn't just come to call the troops fat and whatever. They were telling them that our systems are all compromised. Which I think gets to the fact that if we had to launch against Israel's military, they might be able to take the missile, turn it around on us. We don't know.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And that's the thing we have to consider. Yeah, we don't know. We have to consider all the possibilities. I mean, people, you know, again, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're exactly right. They have spent decades reverse engineering our technology. And, you know, people say, well, why doesn't Trump just get heavy-handed with them and launch a few missiles? Well, what happens if those missiles turn around mid-flight and go back and strike the ship from which they were sent? Because the Israelis were able to hack into them.
Which would be seen by some of our warriors as a sign that it is evil to
Absolutely.
Fight.
It's right. The fist of God. Of God. I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee. Absolutely. Yeah.
There's a UFC fighter who originally said he'd take a bullet for Trump. Now he says Trump is the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. So there are things like that in the mix. And I think that this recent call to do nuclear weapons test is not because Trump wants to look at mushroom clouds in Nevada or wherever they're going to test them. It's probably because they got to dress down these nuclear weapons, debug them, see what the Israelis got on them.
Yes. Yeah.
And I would imagine that Hexit had to tell the military leadership, don't think you're not going to get out of this. Foe is equal to us or superior. You're going to have to go caveman, you know. Mm-hmm. You better. I think that probably they said behind the scenes, enough of this GPS stuff. Get out your compass.
Yes.
Get out your knife.
Yes.
Get out your bayonet, because stuff is not going to work, because they control all the supply lines, and they can sabotage our technology. They've got all types of things. So that's why a lot of these people like Pepe Escobar, with the BRICS and stuff, I'm just laughing because they're like, it's the end, you know, so it's the end. The guys who are invented the stock market in the market, the temple goes back 3,000 years, money changing. When faced with some kind of boycott, they'll freeze. And they won't know what to do. Oh, these guys are boycotting us. They want to do another money system. I give up. You know, I give up. Or I get it. The Russians have awesome rockets and missiles, but you know, to put it all down on that's a little bit. That's only one avenue. So they're like, wow. And you know, the reason why I think that we're not bombing Iran alongside Israel 24 hours is because Vance and Trump told them no way, no way. And these guys never say that. They go, oh no. And this whole thing, they're like, oh, this is typical. Trump has betrayed us. He wants regime change in Venezuela. I mean, the Tren de la Agua gang is no joke. Yes, he said he wasn't going to. Is it all about cartels? We doubt it. As you said in the beginning, we don't know what's in the boats. And also, you know, this is pretty cynical. This is horrible to say. Sometimes he has to throw a little red meat at these neocons. Mm-hmm. That's right. All in the mix. And Trump isn't afraid to make the fleet move and drive by and do shows of force, because in the end, that's not bloodshed. That's just chess moves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so until he starts bombing them, you know, I'm not going to condemn him for that. And we shouldn't yet.
Well, not only that, and we're at just about the end of the program here, so I don't want to open up necessarily a new front of discussion here, but just something that I want to put a little bug in people's minds to think about until we get together again. Folks, we don't know what has happened to Venezuela in the last 10 years, okay? We know that Maduro was Chavez's chosen heir, but Venezuela has been a target for takeover by the Israelis for a long time. Okay, so is the Nicolas Maduro of 2025 the same Nicolas Maduro that took over a decade ago? We don't know. Okay, maybe he has no control over his government, and it's swarming with spies for Israel, and this is one of the reasons why the president now is talking about military action. You know, he doesn't want an Israeli-controlled country with that much oil on his southern border, from which nuclear weapons or biological weapons or, you know, a new drug that, you know, turns the nation into zombies. We just don't know. We don't know. Stas, I think that this was, your contribution to this was absolutely brilliant. And the main theme of all of this, folks, that Stas brought up at the beginning of the program, that we have to consider as we view all of this, is that Israel is at war with the United States. I mean, we've been at war with them for a long, long time, ever since they declared war against us. But now we have a president who's not only fighting back, but he's punching back hard in ways that we've never seen before. And because of that, folks, that's why we need to just bite our tongues, you know, when something happens that really ticks us off or disappoints us. We have to just bite our tongues and say, okay, let's wait and see what comes from this. Stas, I'm going to give you the last word before we cut everybody loose.
Let's pray for the Gentiles. Let's pray that our military and spy services can, you know, render whatever strange sabotage that's been done to them that I haven't heard anybody talk. They've just talked about surveillance devices. I think we here at The Ugly Truth think it goes way beyond that into things that we can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Because if you were to tell somebody that the Hezbollah would go down like that,
mm-hmm.
and that Assad would go down like that,
mm-hmm.
and that Russia would still be in this war, if you were to say that to people back in 2015 before Donald Trump got in through those years,
mm-hmm.
people would go, oh no, there's a lot of resistance to this tyranny. That's not going to go down that easy. Well, it did. And it was things that were planned maybe even like 3,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
Certainly the broad strokes.
Yeah. And they were saying that pager thing was 15 years ago, and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And the line from Cohen that this is only a smattering of our capability or whatever he said recently, that was huge. He basically said any country we
yep.
can do this to. A threat.
Yep.
So there's lots of threats coming, and people need to stop attacking
and chattering.
Kings. Yeah.
Chirping and chattering.
Because when you go into fight, you don't punch your friend.
Exactly.
You go after the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant, Saz. Thank you. You're a friend of humanity. You are a credit to all Gentiles worldwide throughout human history. Sit there tight for just a second. I'm going to close out the program.
Thanks.
Okay, folks, so that was our good friend Stas. Again, as I just said, brilliant contribution on his part. Important things that we talked about, folks. You know, I hear this a lot from a lot of listeners, that what you eat at the Ugly Truth Cafe, unfortunately, you're not going to find it in too many other places. And I say that unfortunately, folks. I wish lots of people were talking like this, having this kind of conversation, looking at these things from a 360-degree angle instead of in this very tunnel vision, narrow manner that unfortunately leads to people coming up with the wrong answers on things, folks. And, you know, this is not just an academic exercise. We're all involved in this mission to save our necks, to keep our skin from melting off of its body. So, anyway, folks, that's it for today. Thank you for your time on this Thursday, November the 6th, 2025 edition of the Ugly Truth Broadcast. Pray for a miracle, folks, because as we say often on this program, we sure as hell need it.